According to the president and CEO of Ancestry.com, around 30 million people around the world have taken a DNA test. And more than 50% of the tests were Ancestry kits. But what happens to your DNA after you get the results you are seeking? I'm Skynell Hughes, and on this edition of 360 View, we are going to look at the rising popularity of the DNA industry and what industries are purchasing and using your DNA information. Let's get started. DNA has come a long way over the years. While it might be fun to swab for 23andMe to see your family history, these ancestry DNA companies have also led to solving crimes. International correspondent Roxana Solana tells us some of the biggest mysteries solved by DNA.
Well, Scotty, it was the kidnapping that gripped the globe. A British girl went missing from a family vacation in Portugal 16 years ago. Madeleine McCain was just 3 years old. A Polish woman, Julia Faustina, began claiming to be Madeleine. She began posting photos in February saying she has a spot in her right eye and a beauty mark on her cheek resembling the missing McCain girl. The biggest claim? Julia said details of her childhood do not add up, leading her to believe that she was abducted as a toddler, even making these claims in an appearance on the TV show Dr. Phil.
Madeleine has this defect in the iris, and you have that same phenomenon, right?
I mean, very faded, little faded now, but yes. My mother, when I asked her for DNA, before this whole situation, when I asked her for some pictures from her pregnancy, some childhood pictures like me at 3 or 4 age, she refused, she didn't want to.
Finally, Julia got her DNA results. The test shows she's 100% Polish, not Madeleine McCain. The missing girl's parent, Kate, and Gary McCain and their children have refused to acknowledge Julia and her claims throughout the entire ordeal. DNA was the answer to a cold case haunting the United States. A string of California rapes and murders was attributed to the Golden Gate Killer. The case was eventually solved 4 decades later when DNA from Ancestry websites led to the arrest of Joseph James DeAngelo. The 72-year-old was a former police officer during the times of the crimes in 1970 to 1980. In 2018, investigators revealed DeAngelo matched the DNA of a relative who had taken an ancestry test. He was arrested without incident. A local news station spoke to one of the Golden State victims shortly after his arrest.
I absolutely remember it. I remember the heat of his breath on my neck. I remember his voice. I remember the weight of his body and his knife. I remember it all too much.
Mary Berwart was just a teenager in June 1979 when she fell victim to the Golden State Killer. She was asleep in her California home when, in the middle of the night, a man in a ski mask entered her bedroom, holding a knife to her throat, tying up her hands and feet and raping her.
I don't care that he's old. I don't care that he's feeble. I do care that he sits and lives with it until the day he dies. He just needs to die with the weight of all of the pain of all of the families.
The long-wanted killer is responsible for 12 homicides, almost 50 rapes, and 120 home burglaries, and currently spending multiple life sentences in prison all through the technological power of DNA. For 360 View, I'm Roxana Solano. Back to you, Scotty.
Wow, lots of information to process there. Thank you so much, Roxana. Now to help us discuss is criminal defense attorney Joseph Tolley. Now, Joseph Tolley has over 15 years experience practicing criminal law in California and has been certified as a criminal law specialist by the California Board of Legal Specialization. Now, in addition, Mr. Tully has been recognized by the National Trial Lawyers as a top 100 trial lawyer. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. This is a really interesting topic.
You know, if someone chooses to have their DNA or genetics tested for personal reasons, what protections are offered to the sample given?
Well, you're basically at the mercy of these companies, and you have to read the fine print. If the company slips in there, you know, we're going to sell your genetic information, or you, by signing up with us, you give us license to use this however we want, including cooperating with law enforcement, then your choice is either to go through with the process, and if you're curious, you know, you want to do it, or to not do it.
I see lots of options, but I have to wonder, how accurate are the commercial DNA services?
So that's part of the problem here, is that we're talking about this mix of, you know, the criminal law world with the commercial world of, you know, your genes. But in a courtroom, you know, you can cross-examine witnesses, experts. In order for evidence to come into a courtroom, it needs to pass scientific muster. There's certain legal tests that the information is scientifically valid. However, in these commercial genetic testing labs, there's no such regulation. It's not designed to provide forensic analysis in courtroom cases. So it's really up to the lab, and there's no true regulation of what's going on right now. We're in the early days of genetic testing.
After the sample is given, whose property is it?
It would depend on what the licensing agreement is or what the agreement is. Again, we all buy things every day. We buy computers. We buy cell phones. We sign up for Facebook. We sign up for Instagram, Twitter. And in a lot of these things, you know, TikTok is famous for this. All of these services have spy provisions in there, really. They're saying, look, even if the app isn't on, we're gonna listen to you, we could sell that information. I mean, we've, in the last decade, signed up for almost 24-hour monitoring by these corporations. So here, it's the same thing with genetic testing. Again, there's no regulation. Right now, based on what's going on with law enforcement, you hear, oh, law enforcement found this suspect, or they got leads by doing this. Well, that's because they're allowed to do it. So presumably, these companies are working hand in hand with law enforcement because they're able to do so.
Maybe you can help clarify this for me. What are the differences in labs between DNA, which is tested by commercial services, or by law enforcement in criminal cases?
There's no regulation, so it's not the same. Regulation would bring standards, it would bring protocols, and in court, there's a test, it's called the Kelly-Frey test, and it's it kind of governs what evidence can come into a courtroom. But before the person who wants to introduce that evidence can present it in court, if the other side objects, then the proponent of that evidence has to prove to the court, judge, this has scientific merit. This is widely accepted within the scientific community. They don't have to prove that this is the best methodology out there, but they have to prove that it's widely accepted and that most scientists within that peer community would accept these results. Whereas with these private companies, it's literally private companies. And the labs are not set up in the same way that a lab would be set up for a forensic case in a criminal case.
Now, back in 2020, the investor firm Blackstone acquired Ancestry.com. We've actually heard relatively little about this acquisition since. Are you concerned about the security of the data which Ancestry.com owns, considering Blackstone has more than 230 other companies who would find the DNA very valuable?
Yes, I think that you've hit the nail on the head. This is a huge privacy concern. And a lot of times people, you know, in my experience, don't understand privacy, the Fourth Amendment. But to those people, you'd say, okay, here, give me your wallet. They'd say, what do you want my wallet for? Well, I'm going to show it to everybody in the room. I'm going to walk around the park this afternoon and just let everybody touch and feel, look through your wallet. People would instantly say no. If you said, hey, give me your cell phone. Hey, what's wrong? If you have nothing to hide, what are you worried about? But, you know, I think kind of giving an example where the rubber meets the road is really, really critical here. And, you know, again, our conversations are being monitored, and then that's being sold to people who want to sell us stuff by internet corporations. And it could be the same thing here, where people imagine if there's, you know, predispositions towards diseases or certain types of entertainment, or, you know, you could have your genome basically cracked and hacked, and they can study it with all the money that these investor groups have. I mean, we're talking about deep pockets, and they could start specializing, you know, selling data for commercial purposes, not based on your web browsing history, but based on your genetic code. I mean, think about that.
Interesting. Thank you so much, Joseph Tolley. Now, after the break, we're going to continue this discussion and look at the ethics of DNA being collected commercially, being used in a criminal prosecution.
La pénétration coloniale française, ils ont combattu tous nos rois.
Non.
Donc les Blancs ont commencé leur colonisation en Afrique, singulièrement au Mali.
Nous avons été meurtris dans notre chair. Nous avons été violés dans notre chair. Nos parents ont été déportés par les colonisateurs. Les colonisateurs nous ont instrumentalisés. Il a fait notre école à son image.
En réalité, la France a toujours vécu de ses colonies. Et si tu vois que la France elle a la troisième réserve d'or au monde, mais en France, on ne produit pas de l'or.
L'opération Barkhane est venue suite à un complot de la France pour la partition du Mali.
Fier du travail accompli, modeste devant la tâche qui se poursuit, autrement certes, mais toujours ensemble.
Mais depuis le départ de la force Barkhane, le Mali a pris son destin en main.
All right, okay.
Nous voulons combattre le terrorisme, ramener la paix et la sécurité dans notre pays. Peut-être qu'ils avaient notre agenda.
La France va toujours chercher à faire venir le Mali dans son giron. Mais tant qu'un Malien est vivant, je vous garantis que cette tâche-là sera impossible pour la France.
I look forward to talking to you all.
That technology should work for people.
A robot must obey the orders given it by human beings, except where such orders would conflict with the first law.
Show your identification.
We should be very careful about artificial intelligence.
The point, obviously, is to create trust rather than fear.
I would like to take on various jobs.
I mean, with artificial intelligence, we are summoning the demon.
A robot must protect its own existence, its own existence.
За военных, которые погибают, но они достойны защищать нашу родину.
По нам начали стрелять украинские. Мне ногу ранили. Вот так вот аж. Да чуть-чуть остался шрам.
Фашисты первые наступали на нашу землю. А мы защищали ее, терпели, погибали. Но они все равно идут до победы.
Thank you. Welcome back. You're watching the 360 View. I'm Scotty Nell Hughes. We are going to continue our discussion about the value of DNA in a criminal court with our guest, criminal defense attorney Joseph Tully. Joseph, thank you so much for continuing this conversation. You know, I wonder, officers can submit DNA samples obtained by GED Match and Family Tree DNA, two of the only genealogy websites which allow law enforcement access to their databases in court. Should DNA obtained by commercial services be made accessible in criminal proceedings?
So, again, there's a push and pull to everything, and as the years go on, we will, if not figure it out completely, get better at it. So here, there's a lot of cold cases that have been solved. I think the Brian Koberger case, where he's accused of stabbing four college students in Wisconsin, that was solved by genetics. There's a lot of old, you know, cold cases that brings peace to the families, that brings security to society. On the other hand, we're having these corporations sell us out or be very, very invasive. Again, people wouldn't want to give up their cell phone. Why would they want to give up their genetic code? Even if you have nothing to hide, it's not really what's on you. It's really about where is this going and who's going to have it? Can you trust that person? Can you trust that person to act ethically? Do you think that person cares as much about your privacy as you do? Do you think that person cares about the genetic privacy that you have, or the privacy that you have in your own genes?
You know, DNA testing has led to convictions, but can also prove innocence. Therefore, for someone who is innocent, wouldn't they be favorable to DNA testing if they were being charged criminally?
Certainly, yes. We have the Innocence Project, which for over a decade now, has freed innocent people who were factually innocent. They didn't do it. And genetic testing has freed them. On the other hand, we haven't seen some of the downsides of the invasion into privacy just yet. And maybe the technology hasn't been there so that the, you know, people who are holding this could abuse it. Again, information is power, and getting genetic information about someone could lead to having an immense amount of power over them. So, you know, the secret to life is balance. And we have to balance here privacy versus all the wonderful uses that genetic unlocking can bring versus the detrimental benefits or the downsides. So for instance, there's privacy, there's lack of consent. We have accuracy and reliability concerns. We have instances where this could not only be used against one person, but could be used against people, you know, genetic groups.
What is genetic discrimination, and how do DNA testing factor in?
So imagine if the law enforcement has an incomplete profile, and they say, well, we know the killer, the robber, the burglar, the rapist, is a male, is of this racial group, then the police could go to a certain area and kind of use that as a pretext to kind of start shaking down members of that group, whether they have probable cause or not. Well, you know, we know it's this certain group. There's only, let's say, you know, 1% of that population in this city. Let's go to, you know, where that population is concentrated and start, you know, doing a shakedown, so to speak. That would be the concern.
Is this a craze all over the world or just in the West?
It's happening all over the world. So generally speaking, I do lots of commentary on legal analysis, you know, Supreme Court cases. What I tell people is that if you had to bet, you know, I don't have a crystal ball, but if you had to bet, bet on the ruling coming down on the side of concentration of power and less rights to the people, more power to corporations, more power to the government. That's the 40-year trend that we're in right now. And based on people's beliefs, you know, walking around the street, I don't see that ending anytime soon. I don't see it being a concern of people. I see people accepting it. However, at some point, I think it might be a situation where, you know, a sleeping giant is awakened.
Is DNA data being harvested from the third world like it is here in the West? And for what purpose?
So I think that it is very possible for a more sophisticated, wealthy Western corporation to go into a third world country and work with corrupt leaders, corrupt dictators who sell out their population for money to these corporations. And then we have the situation that we're talking about here. Here we have a very good Bill of Rights, a very good Constitution, you know, what's left of it after, you know, these last 40 years of judges and appellate courts kind of striking it down. But in third world populations and in third world countries, they don't have the Constitution that we have, and they don't have the mentality of concepts of individual liberty. So I can't speak to any certain countries by name, but I could say that you're really raising an important point that we've seen what corporations do with respect to mining. We've seen what corporations do with respect to raw materials, with respect to populations in terms of their labor. So this really is a recipe for disaster. And I think that, you know, the important point that you're bringing up is that this is not only a national discussion for us, this is a global discussion for all of humanity.
What regulations or oversight would you suggest need to be established in order to protect individuals in the future?
I think we would have to deal with the right of privacy. Again, the tendency of people in power, whether it be government or corporations, is to abuse that power, and it's to grow that power as well. Once you have power, you want to keep growing it. So I think a good model actually is our Constitution, because it says, listen, you can't stop humans from wanting more or acting in their own self-interest. So the best way to deal with that is to pit these individual groups against each other so that you have checks and balances. So I think we need rigorous scientific standards. And if we are going to use genetics in court, then those labs need to be regulated to the same standard as a forensic lab would be, let's say, in any county or federal department where they're responsible for testing evidence and bringing it into court. So I think, you know, regulating the labs, regulating privacy, and perhaps a global Bill of Rights for all of humanity, recognizing the right to their privacy in terms of their own genetics.
Do you honestly believe any of those suggestions will ever be put into place?
We either do that, or we have a tyranny creeping in more and more. And maybe instead of tiptoeing, it'll start walking and then, you know, jumping, then leaping. So we're either going to regulate it, or it's going to put a chokehold on this. And I'm talking about the whole world.
Thank you so much, Joseph Tully, for joining us. Mankind is curious, especially when it comes to information about themselves. We look to find out more about our past, hoping it will give us answers to questions we seek about ourselves in the present, and possibly help us in the future. Where does my temper come from? Why am I allergic to shellfish? Why do I have blonde hair when everyone in my family has red hair? I think most look to commercial DNA sites all for innocent reasons. But just like with everything else in the present day, once something is deemed extremely valuable, there is an open invitation for corruption. Sadly, something as innocent as wanting to find out your genetic disposition or background can now be used for other purposes without any disclosure to the individual. The lack of trust people have, not only for the money-hungry corporations, but the government, only aids in the fear individuals have for the commercial DNA industry, once we realize how powerful our DNA information can be. Sadly, we are already behind in creating standards and regulations to protect privacy and individual rights in regards to their own DNA. And just like with everything else deemed to be lucrative and hold power, I doubt the government is in any hurry to correct. I'm Skynell Hughes, and this has been your 360 view of the news affecting you. Thanks for watching.